The first one, talking about a life where these are the things that would have dominated. But for a Christian, because we've been saved by Christ, because our love is for our God, there is a certain constraint on us. And the expectation will be that those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ will actually be acting against these tendencies in their lives. Or putting that another way, we will lose some of these things. Maybe all of them. Then we'll turn to our Lord and we'll say, "I'm sorry, I've messed up. I no longer want this as part of my life. I want to please you." And we'll turn from it. Unfortunately, at times, we might have to do that 10 times a day. We'll come back to this a little bit later on how we deal with these sort of things. But the Christian may plunge into these things, but then be repentant. Another way we can look at this, if you're a Christian and you're plunging down one of these paths and thinking, "Well, it seems to be okay, I think I'm getting away with it." Be honest about human nature. Be sure that the Lord will stop you. Because, as he says, those who do these things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're going to inherit the kingdom of God, you will be stopped from doing these things habitually. Simple as that. An important question that we need to ask of ourselves as Christians is that if we're struggling with some of these things, we need to ask the question, what am I not understanding about the gospel? What am I pushing into the background about the gospel causing me to go in that direction? If we could just pick up on one of them, maybe anger. Question should be asked if the person is habitually angry. You should ask, what am I missing about the peace that I have in Christ, the security and love that I have in Christ, that I feel the need to be angry? Now that's an important question to ask. It's not an easy one to answer, and often to get an answer to that sort of question, you need to be talking to somebody with great Bible knowledge and pastoral skills and so on who can help you through. But it's a question that needs to be answered. And importantly, it's something you need to be confident can be answered. So if you're one of God's people, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you know that your sins are forgiven, you know that you're loved by God, and these things are manifesting themselves in your life, there is an answer to it. You don't need to be burdened. You don't need to be living in that sense of deep frustration. But more importantly, and on the positive side, we can expect that as God's people, we will be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit. That's why it goes on here in verse 22. It talks about the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The fruit of the Spirit will come forth in our lives because of our union with the Lord Jesus. When we believe in the Lord Jesus, we become one with him. Our faith is in him. The Holy Spirit indwells us. The Holy Spirit takes what belongs to Christ and gives it to us. And so we find that who we are is being brought forth in our lives when we show love, joy, keeps on reminding us of who we are in the Lord Jesus. And so, for example, we have love, joy, and peace. Because when we think about the good news of our Savior, we are perfectly loved by Him. We are secure in Him. We can love Him too. We have been taken out of an utter lostness and deadness to God, and we've been brought into a perfect relationship with our God. Why can't we have joy? We are secure for eternity. There is our peace. Our Lord has dealt with us with the most overwhelming patience and kindness and goodness. And as we are convinced of that and the reality of the gospel of our Lord Jesus, then patience, kindness, goodness should be evident in our lives. As we think about our Lord Jesus and the great security that He gives us, then we can be faithful to Him. We're secure enough to be gentle. We're secure enough to be able to show some sort of self-control in the difficult aspects of our lives. So that as our attention is on Jesus, as the Holy Spirit is working in our lives, we're being driven to all these things, but not in some sort of legalistic way. Here are the rules. You must now love. You must now have joy, compulsory joy from now on, sort of thing. It's an impulse, a drive that flows out of being people who believe in the Lord Jesus. And that's why he says there, against such things there is no law. It's an impulse of the love of God within us, an impulse of the love of God flowing from us. There can be no law against it. Now at this point, I'm sure, just from experience, I'm sure there will be some of you here thinking, I'm not sure I've got many of those fruit of the Spirit in my life. Be assured that you are the world's worst judge. And the reason is the Holy Spirit is constantly pushing you in these directions. He's constantly highlighting the need for you to change. He's constantly presenting before you the wonder of our Lord Jesus Christ, and He's the one with whom we can judge ourselves. And so there will always be a sense of personal satisfaction in these things. We'll always be aware, I could love a lot more. I could be more joyful. I could enjoy a lot more peace. And that's because the Holy Spirit is constantly pushing you along, making you put this word well in talking about crucifixion here. Because he said, in the whole mentality of the first century, when we talk about crucifixion, they see something where there was no pity shot. They would see it as something that was entirely decisive, but painful as well. And when we put that in the context of our lives and ask the question, what do I do if I'm overwhelmed with selfish ambition? What do I do if I have terrible envy? What do I do if I'm caught up in sexual immorality? Well, the Apostle says, however painful it might be, take very decisive action, show no mercy to your sin, and stop. That doesn't mean that it's not going to come back. But the whole mentality that's to be exercised is one of saying, it's finished. It's inappropriate for me to be like that if I'm one of God's people. I will get rid of that. And it might be that we have to go through the full list here, plus other things. And each one say, that's enough. It's over. And in terms of our prayer is not, Lord, I'm constantly, furiously angry on certain issues. Our prayer is not then, Lord, help me to tone it down. But rather, Lord, I'm so sorry. I utterly reject the attitude that I have. Please be merciful and give me the strength to keep on rejecting. That's what he's saying to us here, is the appropriate way to pray about these things and to deal with them. And I guess we all have to admit that that's not always the way to do it. And you might think, well, if that's the case, then, well, I should have gotten rid of everything long ago. What we should anticipate is that early on in our Christian life, please don't see this in terms of animal rights, but it's a useful illustration. Early on in our Christian life, that we're killing roaring lions. The really bad stuff comes up, and we have to kill it off. And it might be that as time goes on, but the roaring lions still leap up at us as our sinful behaviours and attitudes, and we have to kill it off. But as time goes on, it might be nasty dogs. Not quite so bad, but still need to be killed. And then scorpions and spiders. I think you get rid of it. As we go on our Christian walk, the same attitude needs to be there. As bad, evil attitudes and ways will dwell up in our lives, our attitude has to be, I will kill it. It has no place, because I belong to the Lord Jesus. And then, on a more positive side, it says in verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. The Holy Spirit keeps directing us to the Lord Jesus. And what he's saying is here, follow that. The Holy Spirit will keep on reminding us what is right and wrong. Follow that lead. The Holy Spirit will direct us to God's Word to fill our minds with the truth. Let that happen. Very positively, seek to do what you know you should do as you are led by the Spirit of God in the light of who Christ is and who he's done. So often in our lives we're asking the question, well, Do what he revealed to you in the Word. Do what is appropriate.